Our Father and our God, thank you again for a beautiful morning, an opportunity to come to worship you. Thank you for helping us navigate the pathway called life. When we look at this prayer list and we know there's other names that could be on there, we know that there are struggles. We know that there's hurt and pain and heaviness and sorrow. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you in your patience for forgiving us and redirecting when we need that. Thank you in your grace and your mercy. You extend a hand of invitation to each of us to follow Jesus. Thank you for warm temperatures in the forecast. It's been a long winter and hard on a lot of things, farmers and equipment, and thank you for warmer days ahead. Thank you for the Easter season, this Lenten season that we're in. Thank you for the reminder of the cross and the empty tomb. Father, I would pray again during this season that people would be attentive to your voice, taking time to be in your word, but listening for your voice to call us unto yourself, to a closer walk with you. And I would pray, Father, that in our churches all over the region, all over the nation, that this Lenten season, that people would come and worship and get acquainted or reacquainted with you and just really bask in your presence and really absorb your spirit. So thankful, Father, for your gracious gift of your Son. I'm so thankful for your word, Lord. Your word is truth. And I'm so thankful we've got it in different translations. We can understand it. We can learn from it. We can meditate on it. And you speak to us. Thank you for your word. As we look at your word this morning, Father, would you guide us by your Spirit and just help us to continue to learn. And I do pray lastly, too, for not by name because there's so many, but for the sick, the lonely, the hurting. I just pray, Lord, that you would touch them like only you can in a special way. You know what each one needs. Encourage them. They may be here this morning. They're discouraged. I just pray, Father, that you would just touch each person on the list that's here. Draw them unto yourself and guide them. Continue to guide them, I pray. Guide us now as we continue to look at your word. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bible, I'd invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. We started Romans chapter 12 a couple of weeks ago. We saw the words, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed." We saw that. The word challenges us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be holy people. That's how Paul starts Romans 12. So I'm going to pick it up at verse 3 today. Share a few verses, and maybe another week or another time we'll look at some more chapter 12 later. I've called this today, excuse me, serving together in humility. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and so you can follow it on the big screen or along in your Bibles. Romans 12, starting at verse 3. Here's what he says. "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning," Paul says. "Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us." Then he says, "Just as our bodies," he's talking physically here now for a moment, "just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So you see what he's saying? I'm going to go on here a little bit. But he's drawing this analogy of our body, how we need every part, fingers, arms, forearms, eyes, ears. We need all parts to be whole, to be complete, to be at max capacity, shall we say. Then he likens that physical body to Christ's body. And he says we are many parts, that's us, many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Then in 6, he says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Did you know, friends, when God gives us a gift, he gives us to do it well. That's good news. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. I'm going to elaborate on all these in just a minute, but I'm just going to read through it now. If your gift is serving others, Paul says, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then he says, then be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Verse 9 is a different chapter, but I want to read it to kind of press it into this. I shouldn't say chapter, different paragraph. Verse 9, he says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Then he concludes, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Part of the reason I'm using the New Living Translation again today is the simplicity to understand what Paul is saying. I like simplicity, amen? I like to understand what I'm reading. And so I like the New Living in these verses. I want to convey the Word of God in a manner that is understandable, because I've talked to a lot of people over a long time, Jim, I can't understand the Scriptures. And so I like translations that are understandable, and I like to convey a message that's understandable, because if we don't understand it, how are we going to apply scriptural guidelines if we don't know what it says? So I like the New Living Translation in these particular verses. Now, I've said this before, and the Apostle Paul has also, there are other places in Scripture that list spiritual giftedness. We've got the fruits of the Spirit, but we've also got gifts of the Spirit. Paul is talking about being gifted in the Spirit here. And if you have come to Christ, friends, if you have given your life to Jesus, we have a Holy Spirit gift. All of us do. Now, we may not know what it is. We may not really want to use it, but we do. We have a gift that's important, that's special. Just like he said there, each part of our body has a special function, and it's the same in the body of believers. Everyone has a special function. You say, Jim, no, I don't really have anything I can contribute. We do. We really do. There's a partial list there of the spiritual gifts there. There's more in other places. But we really do have a special gift. If we have committed our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us a gift to be used for God's glory. And so I want you to understand you're special, you have a special function. And the body isn't functioning at capacity if your gift isn't being used. That's not for condemnation. I'm just saying that's the way it is. If I lose 2 or 3, 4 fingers on a hand, my hand isn't going to work the same. My arm isn't going to work the same. It's the same in the body of believers. If people that are making up the congregation, because we have put our faith in Christ, we come in together to worship, aren't using their gift, then the body is shortchanged. I said this earlier, and I think I'll say it again. We have this special gift and this responsibility to bring God glory with this gift that He's given us. And I would go so far as to say this. If I am not using the gift or gifts God has given me, and or you are not using the gift that God has given you, I would say that it is sin. Because the Bible said in James 4:17, and this is also from the New Living Translation, remember, James says, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then don't do it, then not do it. And so He's given us these gifts to be used to help others, to benefit the body, to the edifying of the saints, Paul says in another place. And so if we're not using it, the body isn't functioning like it could. And so, when God gives you that gift, He gives it to you for you to be a blessing to somebody else. Let me start breaking them down a little bit. Just as our bodies, He said, have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. This is not new to us, is it? Is this new to anybody? This would mean yes, this I'm... Work with me. We're all part of a body. We know that, right? When we come together in Christ, when we have professed faith in Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. And as the body that we live in, every part is special, every part is unique, every part has a function. We got hundreds of parts. It's all needed. It's the same way when a group of believers comes together and we call the body of Christ. Your gift is special and it's necessary to be used for somebody else. And so, every person, every one of us that have given our lives to Christ is an important and gifted part of the body of Christ. And I'll say it once more, then I'll quit. If that body part isn't functioning, then the body is shortchanged. There's something missing that could be happening. I want to say this too, because sometimes people think that the pastors are the only ones with functioning body parts. That's not true. That's not true at all. The church, if the church was just made up of a pastor or two, it would be a sad state of affairs. The church is made up of lots of functioning parts, just like our body. Okay, I want to press on and look at these individually just a minute. Elaborate on them just a minute. In verse 6, he said, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. If God gives you a gift, it's good. Amen? The gift that God gives you is good. And He wants us and He expects us to use it. And I like the way Paul says it here. In His grace, He has given you this gift to do whatever it is well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And so on and so forth through those verses. Now, let me mention these just a little bit. Prophecy, some people might conclude, well, the Old Testament prophets were those that foretold the future, that God gave them a word. The Old Testament prophecy has a meaning. The New Testament prophecy has a meaning, and they're not exactly the same. Similar, but not the same. This prophecy that Paul is referring to here is, according to the Greek definition, speak under inspiration. In other words, speak by the inspired word of God by the Holy Spirit. And so this is not so much predicting the future as speaking under inspiration. The last time I did a gift assessment, which was a year or so ago, that was a number one for me. It surprised me. I thought maybe it'd be leadership or pastoral or something, but prophecy is what my spiritual gift assessment concluded when I took it the last time. Now, when we get to the rest of them, you might think, well, I'm not one that can speak under inspiration. When we get to the rest of these definitely are things that you can do, maybe are doing, or could be. Serving others, that's self-explanatory. It's simply coming alongside somebody with some need. I have seen many of you in action serving others regularly lately, and I simply want to say thank you. It's a beautiful thing. For the body to be serving other people, coming alongside in their hurt, in their loneliness, in their need, serving others is a huge blessing, not only to the served, but to the server. And I also would say this, when we are serving, that's therapeutic. It's healing, especially if we're serving somebody that maybe we haven't seen eye to eye with or something. Teacher, many of you have that gift. It's another self-explanatory gift, and I so appreciate all of you that are using that gift. Maybe there are more of you that should be teaching. Maybe that's your gift and you haven't discovered it. But how important is it to help somebody else? It might be a child, it might be a teenager, it might be a new believer that's 50 years old. How important is it to teach them the Word of God? Help them to understand. You say, Jim, I don't know enough about it to teach them. We got to keep learning together and we got to keep helping others learn. The gift of teaching is very important. I love the next one, encourage others. And all I want to say about this is what Paul was saying, then be encouraging. Do you know anybody that could use encouragement? Friends, we all do. People need to be encouraged. It's a discouraging time. Wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and death and difficulties. People need to be encouraged. And God has gifted some of you to come along some others to be encouragers to them. If you have the gift of encouragement, use the gift, friend. There's so many people today that need some encouragement from some things. Paul lists in here the gift of giving. God will bless some people with an extraordinary ability to give. Now, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. That's one thing. But he will bless some others with an extraordinary gift to give and give generously. We all have an obligation to God in the tithes and offerings. That's different. He will also bless people with the gift of giving. And some have that extra special gift of it and are very, very good at it. Thank you for your giftedness in all of these, but thank you for that. John Wesley said a long time ago, when it comes to giving, he said, make all you can. Then he said, save all you can. But he didn't say, keep all you can. He said, then give all you can. And he meant it. Make all we can so we can give more generously and abundantly. Then Paul lists leadership ability. It's self-explanatory. But here, as much as anywhere, we also must remember Paul's admonition, what he started with. Don't think you're better than you really are. That goes for us leaders. Don't think you're better than you really are. Or if he's gifted you with music, or he's gifted you with teacher, or he's gifted you with giving, remember these words, how Paul started. Don't think that you're better than you really are. This is a gift. This is a gift from God's grace to us. Use it, as I started the sermon with, in humility to advance the kingdom and to give God glory. Showing kindness. So many people could just use a little kindness. Life gets hard. Society gets rough and coarse, abrasive and difficult. And God has given some people in the body the gift of kindness. Maybe that's you. And if it is, I just want to encourage you, use it often. Use your gift of kindness often. There's so many people that could use it. Now, when you look at those gifts, I don't see them as that hard, do you? Brothers and sisters, do you see them? I don't see them as that hard. Now, you might say, well, Jim, I don't have the gift of prophecy. I don't have the gift of being a missionary. I don't have the gift of some of the other things listed. But some of these are really not that hard. Amen? We can do these. And the body is edified, God is glorified, and people are built up when we use these gifts. And your gift may not come from here, but be assured God has given you one. And so I just want to say this again. Be aware of the gift that God has given you. If you have professed faith in Christ, you have a spiritual gift to contribute to the glory of God and the building up of the church. Be aware of that, and I want to ask you, are you using it? Are you aware of what it is? We can get you a gift assessment. We can help you understand what your gift is. But God has called us to use our gifts and function like our body. And the only way the body is going to function best is when we're all using our gift. There's another story in the Bible that Jesus talks about, and I'm not going to refer to it today, but you know the story about the talents that he's given us. We have a talent. And he talked about the 5, the 3, and the 1, or the 10, 5, and 1, whichever story you look at. He has given us a gift, and it's not to be buried. Remember what he said with the one that buried it? Take that away from him and give it to the one that's got 10. Our gifts that God has given us is not to be buried. It's to be used to help each other, to build one another up, to advance the kingdom, and to bring God glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your willingness and your grace to give us each something special. Everyone that has claimed Christ as Lord is special. Everyone is unique. Everyone is needed. Thank you, Father, for those special gifts that you give us. Help us, Father, to be keenly aware of it. Help us to use your gift that you have given us for your glory. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you, Father, for how we come from different places and are different, but every one of us complement one another. Thank you for that. Use us for your glory, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.